You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Very excited to be here with you all on this Tuesday, day after the Pelicans come back from a 19-point deficit to beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 114-107. Still not against a winning team, but this is definitely the Pelicans' best win of the season. We're going to be talking about why they got in a hole to start the game. They were down pretty big in the first quarter before storming on back. We're going to talk about the DeMarcus Cousins flagrant 2 and subsequent ejection from that. I think a flagrant is warranted in some aspects. I don't think it's a 2. I'll talk to you guys about why. And finally, I want to talk about the emergence and return of some of these Pelicans role players because they were very, very instrumental in this win last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we got a lot to get to in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Down at one point, 25-6, it looked like this was going to be a very ugly game for the New Orleans Pelicans after that debacle in Denver. I think that's probably the best thing to call it, actually, the debacle in Denver. I do love alliteration, so we'll call it that. And down 25-6, 19 points, you know, early on, the Pelicans looked like this was just going to be another performance from them, another team shooting hot from the three-point line because the Pelicans weren't closing out. They were leaving guys open, particularly Paul George, who had a quick 9 points off three-pointers right off the bat, by the way. But this team kind of found some resilience and I think understood the Thunder's game plan and how they've been this year. Going into the game, the Thunder were 7-8. So again, team with a losing record. But this is still a better win than the, say, Pacers game because I mean we all know this this Oklahoma City Thunder team's going to put it together and eventually be kind of a force to be reckoned with in the NBA. But right now, they're kind of built around their three stars, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, and those guys kind of do it by isolation scoring, by sheer talent, kind of force of will with the players that they are. I wouldn't say there's the most cohesive offense to this Thunder team entirely, and you can kind of see it. They look disjointed at times. They kind of hit cold streaks, and the Pelicans knew this. What they did going into this game was just keep chipping away despite being down 19 points because at a certain point, whether certain guys were subbed out and you had Westbrook and Melo on the bench while Paul George led the second unit for them in this game, that maybe that's where they can kind of chip away at these points and get back into it. And get back into it, they did. So it was a good job on the team for kind of understanding the situation they were in. And as I'm not completely sold on this team, as you guys have heard throughout this podcast this season, you know, there and a lot of it just seems like this is kind of like a slightly improved Pelicans team of years past. There's a little bit more talent here, but they still do the same old Pelicans things that's going to lead to something like, you know, a near 500 record. There's something they're doing this year that's different, and you're kind of seeing it in the Saints as well. And sometimes you just kind of have to have this near intangible quality, and that's finding ways to win games. And the Pels did it last night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. In years past, they would have crumbled in a situation like this. They would have crumbled in that game against Sacramento earlier in the year when they found themselves down. I think it was 19 as well. They would have crumbled against the Indiana Pacers, and this would have been a 20-plus blowout loss to this team at home, and we would have all just been like, I don't know what to kind of do about this. Kind of what happened like in Denver the other night, that really once Davis went down and didn't come back out, the team kind of folded. Well, they had both their bigs for, you know, the first quarter and the first half last night, and they battled back. They, you know, they got back in. They started scoring a little bit better. They looked to get the ball inside more. For the first half of the first quarter, it was a lot of three-point attempts early in the shot clock, things like that for the Pelicans. And then they realized, as everyone wants them to, get back into the paint, score that way. And there was a Jrue Holiday layup down with that 26-5 score where he just drove initiated some body contact, made the layup, got the and one, and it kind of seemed to wake this team up and give them the jolt that they kind of needed to maybe realize what they needed to do, how they needed to play. And certainly it worked, as in the second half of that quarter, they got right back into it. And despite being down 26-5, ended up only down in the first quarter 33-24. That's exactly how a team needs to chip away at a lead, and they did that job. But what got them in that hole in the first place is what we've seen from this Pelicans team. They allowed the Thunder in the, say, we're just looking at the first half numbers here, to go 7 of 17 for 41.2% from the 3-point range, while the Pelicans shot just 3 of 9 in that same span. And then, of course, the turnovers, which are a thing and still give you very empty trips on the offensive end. Pelicans had 19 on the night. They had 12 of those alone in the first half. You know, I'm not a huge fan of the turnover points statistic, but it led to 23 turnover points on 19 turnovers on the night, giving the Oklahoma City Thunder a number of fast break points. And that can hurt you when you've got Russell Westbrook out there just screaming down the court. The Pels do a good job of limiting fast break. Russell Westbrook's a single man fast break with how fast he is, and he can definitely punish you with that. So the Pelicans got themselves in the hole doing normal Pelicans things. And it's a bit concerning because going into this game, and this isn't how the game finished, luckily, that the Pelicans have allowed six plus opponents, I think it was six, to shoot above 40% from three on the evenings and making 16 or more threes. It's a bit of a recipe for disaster if you're the Pelicans. And again, this is what we've seen them do. And it's, again, not what you want, and is going to very much hurt the team at some point when they start playing better and better teams as this kind of stretch goes on. So before I talk about the flagrant two for DeMarcus Cousins, his ejection, and then how the team and Anthony Davis in particular played after that, you know, I get a lot of people asking me, particularly at the Smoothie King Center, for some advice before games, and it's not what you think. It's usually, should I bet on the Pelicans or not? The Pelicans were -3 against the Thunder, and if you felt kind of good about this team and bad about the Thunder, you probably, you know, made some money right there if you took the points. And let me tell you this, what I answer to them is, you know, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I always tell people to go to mybookie.ag. There's a lot of online sports books out there, and mybookie.ag is the only one that gets my personal stamp of approval. You guys hear me talking about betting on occasion. This is where what I use and where I go. And so I don't give kind of endorsements out lightly when it comes to things like this. Partially because I have a strong degree of integrity, I think, I hope. And, you know, these ads and things don't pay enough money to just kind of shill products out there, for whatever. And it's just not worth kind of compromising that for like $3. So MyBookie AG is one I really do give my personal stamp of approval on. And it's by far the best sports book I used. They've been in business for years. The MyBookie AG rep is rock solid. And we'll have it in the end here. They have a 100% cash bonus. So right off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And more importantly, they have the fastest payouts. That's the biggest thing to me. You know who's going to win, right? You know, you guys are smart sports fans. I hear people when I talk to them all the time about this sort of thing. So you want to put down some cash, win a little bit of money or big money, depending, and you know what the outcome is going to be. So it's a smart thing. But the biggest thing is getting paid and getting your cash out can be difficult. MyBookie.ag does it in 2 days. That's the biggest thing. You win and they pay. They pay being the most important part. They have live in-game betting that's the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go an absolute breeze. All of a sudden, you find someone's not going to be playing in a game, you want to throw down some money on it, get on your phone, get it done. It's easy over at mybookie.ag. Join MyBookie right now, and they will match your deposit up to a 100% bonus. Just use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA for that offer. Again, the promo code is LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So before I talk about the flagrant two, the ejection, and then the play of the team, particularly Anthony Davis after that, I'm going to play you a bit of a quick interview I recorded with former host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, the original host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast, Brett Dawson, who I had lunch with yesterday as well before the game. I want to play it for you because it kind of brings up some things that I'm going to talk about after this a little bit, and I wanted to get the original host here on the podcast. All right, now I'm joined by Brett Dawson, Thunder beat writer for the Oklahoman, but you guys might also know him as the original host of Locked On Pelicans, so this is kind of cool to have him on. We're sitting courtside warming up as watching the players warm up before the game. But Brett, okay, you get a unique perspective traveling with the team to kind of cover everything here. So how have the Pelicans looked to you so far, even though you're a little removed for this, just as a team and then in the Western Conference?
Well, you know, they're interesting because nobody really plays the way they do. And so every night they're sort of a unique challenge for everybody. They are a unique challenge for everybody in the league because of what DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis do. Very few teams have two guys. Very few guys have one guy who's that skilled, a big guy, and who makes you do all the things that big guys don't really like to do. So like Steven Adams for the Thunder talked about that, you know, like what you want to do as a big guy is you want to run the other end of the floor. You want to get into post position. You want to deal with a guy who's going to post up. Those guys can trail. They can shoot threes. They make you close out. That's one thing big guys really hate to do. So they present a lot of challenges. I think the big thing with the Pelicans, and I'm not breaking any news here, is on the perimeter, they're just not very good, and they're not good enough. They got to be better. They could probably use one more perimeter player. You know, Rondo might help them some now that he's back, but they lack that sort of consistent, I think that one consistent piece they could use who could make some threes, who could keep a defense honest, who can slash a little bit and play off of those guys. I just don't think they have a lot of players who fit great playing off those two.
Yeah, they've got the two big guys who can get you really far, but they can't get you like over the line themselves. So you've seen, I know you've been traveling all around, you were telling me you were in Denver and all over the place. How do they kind of look compared to some of those teams?
Yeah, I'm interested to see them tonight up close because, you know, I haven't seen them with Rondo. And so I am interested to see just sort of what that looks like and how much of a difference he makes. You know, I watched Denver was really good when I saw them a couple of weeks ago. And obviously they played great against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
They also played great against the Thunder. The Thunder got a big lead and lost, which has kind of been the Thunder's MO. But they obviously were terrific in that first quarter against the Pelicans, which I saw just very little of. But, you know, I think they can hang around there with these two guys and be in the mix with your Portlands and your Denvers and some of those teams fighting for lower playoff spots. I think ultimately the Thunder's going to jump up and get into the top five somewhere. I think Minnesota's probably going to stay in that top five. And then I think, you know, when you look at Golden State, San Antonio, and Houston, I think those are going to end up being the top three teams in whatever order, probably in the order I just said. So, you know, I think they can be in the mix. I don't think they can get up there and fight for the five, but I do think they're going to stay in the mix for a playoff spot.
Which should at least be an entertaining season for Pelicans fans. So I know you've got stuff to go and do. Is it weird being interviewed on the podcast that you were like the first? You, I mean, you did the first number of episodes.
Yeah, I don't remember how many I did, but yeah, it's a little bit strange. It's always, you know, whenever you take another job and you come back, it's always a little odd. You see all these familiar faces who are people that you saw every day, who now you're just seeing, you're swooping in and getting to see them. You know, I saw Scott Kushner last night, who was a frequent guest when I ran this podcast, and Mason Ginsburg, who's been on it. We had lunch. So it's always fun to come back. But yeah, it's very odd. It's odd to think about being a guest on the podcast I once hosted.
Yeah, when the, I think I remember you said something when the graphic changed from Locked On Pelicans with Brett Dawson to my name. And it's like, that's got to be a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little strange. It's a little bit strange. But, you know, it's the Locked On host, I'm kind of turned over a little. So we should all get used to a little bit of change. Yeah. It's like free agency, you know, like the NBA player movement. It's what makes the NBA great.
Absolutely. All right, thanks. This was fun. Yeah. I missed you. I'm happy you're here.
Thanks. It's great. It's really, really good to be here. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to see people and see a lot of familiar faces and cover a game here in these terrible seats they put us in now, as opposed to that great seat I used to have.
Omer's Block
it's
Party.
It's awesome to be back. I love New Orleans. It's so cool to be back here.
So Brett brings up a bunch of points that are very good about the Pelicans, and also kind of we saw at play last night, and we saw them kind of come out and maybe not disprove some of those because the questions about, say, the perimeter players are still going to remain. But in order to win and to try and get the W and get past the finish line, they needed to get some help from other guys, and they definitely did. But before we can talk about that, we do need to talk about the flagrant two that DeMarcus Cousins received. And this happened with almost exactly 5 minutes left in the third after corralling a rebound. He got the ball, kind of got harassed by, I forget which player it was before, and then Russell Westbrook came in looking to try and get the ball from him. So he picked up his arms, kind of put the ball above his head and turned just to kind of create some separation and get the ball away from Westbrook. And as he was turning, caught Westbrook with an elbow, partially because Westbrook's just shorter than DeMarcus Cousins. So when his elbows are up, it's kind of around, you know, the guy's height and his head. Turn, caught him on the head, and Westbrook crumpled to the ground. The officials went to review it and eventually assessed a flagrant 2 to DeMarcus Cousins, ejecting him from the game. You know, this is a tough one because when you watch it, one, Westbrook flops just, not a ton, but enough to kind of sell this call a little bit more. But they can, again, they go to review it and they'll see if he flopped or not. And then they certainly did in this case. And what kind of, my take on this is, I don't know if it's a flagrant 2, but I can definitely see it's a flagrant 1. And if you listen to the audio of the refs and the replay team talking about what they're looking at and why they're deciding to make a call, the way the call was on the court when they decided to assess a flagrant 2 was that he just had too much force and kind of turned a little too hard, like I said, too much force in trying to get away from Westbrook when maybe he doesn't need to turn that hard. And I think this is partially a reputation call that if this is another player, it's probably a flagrant 1, but because it's Cousins and he has this reputation with the refs, it's a flagrant 2. And a lot of people are going to say that's unfair and it shouldn't be that way, but it is. And DeMarcus Cousins, to an extent, has brought this on himself with his antics, with the complaining, with his history of the technical fouls and all of that. And so I can kind of understand why it was called this way. It's definitely a flagrant in some capacity. You hit a guy in the head with an elbow, even if it's a bit of a flop, even if it kind of caught him in the neck some. That's, you know, to me, yeah, more of a flagrant 1 than a 2. There was no intent here to harm a player, so that's got to be looked at and considered. He's just trying to get some space. It's not like he's going out of his way to nail Russell Westbrook with his elbow here. So again, I don't think this is necessarily the right call of a flagrant 2. Flagrant 1 or some capacity like that, I think, is the correct call. So I understand it. I'm not as outraged as, say, some other people were. The flop's kind of annoying. You're not going to be happy about that. But this is the NBA. It is what it is. They're not going to probably fine him on something when it was eventually a flagrant and an ejection. But again, this is kind of what happened. And after this is where I talked about that mental toughness in the beginning. You could see the Pelicans crumbling after this and just kind of folding and being like, well, we had a good run up until here, but now our second best player is gone. So goodbye. We're just going to fold and go home and just move on. But they didn't. And this comes to what Brett Dawson was talking about, how they need to get more consistent perimeter play and from other guys to kind of, like, as I've been saying, carry him over the finish line. They got Anthony Davis doing what he could to get him as far as he could. We're going to talk about that. And then also some of these other guys on the night and after Cousins was ejected really stepped up and have to be making you feel a little bit better about the bench play. But before we talk about that, I do want to mention we've got the monthly New Orleans Basketball Social Club meetup at the New Movement Theater, 1706 St. Claude Avenue in the Marigny-Bywater area, 70117, I think is the zip code. Starting at 6 tonight, we'll be doing the happy hour. Then at 7, we'll be recording the live podcast. We got some guests here. It should be a lot of fun. Make sure you come out. We do this once a month. This one's a little close to Thanksgiving, but you're not out of town yet. There's still a Pelicans game on Wednesday, so before you get out of town, you go do your Thanksgiving shopping. Hopefully you don't wait till the last minute on that. Come out to the New Orleans Basketball Social Club meetup. 7 o'clock is when we'll record. 6 o'clock, though, to come get a drink or two, hang out, just casually talk some Pelicans basketball. 1706 St. Claude Avenue, the New Movement Theater. I will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I hope to see you as well. So after DeMarcus Cousins was ejected, the team really woke up and started to play particularly better. And they've been playing much better in the second half. When that happened, the Pelicans were only down, I think it was 4 or 5 at the time of the ejection. But they woke up and did what they needed to do. After that, Anthony Davis played particularly well on the night, and I'm pulling up the numbers here. After Cousins left, he played 17 minutes the entire rest of the game. Put up 16 points, 8 rebounds, had 2 assists, 4 turnovers. That's okay. It's not as bad in that case when you kind of look at the circumstances. And really willed and led this team to victory. Davis, especially in the final 4 minutes of the game, looked 100% gassed and tired and exhausted. And you saw a couple of his jumpers didn't have legs underneath them and they were hitting front iron. And it looked like this team was just going to fold towards the end despite a valiant fight. And then, man, Gentry used his timeouts very smartly. They've changed the rules now. When you get under 2 minutes, timeouts kind of vanish, or it's 3 minutes, something like that. So Gentry used his timeouts before they were going to just disappear to give Davis a rest. Times when you wouldn't necessarily think to call a timeout. He just called, he had two before they kind of vanished, and used them to give Davis a bit of a break. The Pels also caught a bit of a break when there was a little bit of a lengthy review to see whether Carmelo Anthony stepped out of bounds with the ball or not. Turns out he didn't. And that got Davis a rest too, because he iced the game down the stretch with a couple of big jumpers. And then luckily the Pelicans were in the bonus enough and turned that into 15 free throws in the final. Or that's over the stretch, but they basically turned into a bunch of free throws, with Davis getting to the line 10 times. Again, rest there. You weren't going to trust this Pelicans half-court offense, and the Thunder made some boneheaded plays, particularly from Steven Adams, who had like one over the back foul that was terrible on a defensive board. He was the Pelicans had grabbed, which just sent Davis to the line, meaning the Pelicans didn't have to play half court offense, and it kind of made you feel like this was gonna get the win, and it ultimately did. But to get close and to keep it there and to build a bit of a lead, the Pelicans needed other guys to step up. You know, Jameer Nelson was key in that stretch, scoring 5 points. Jrue Holiday chipped in 4 points. Etuan Moore had the most with 6 points. But really, maybe the kind of off-the-bench hero and the guy who's really been stepping up and a guy the Pelicans really need to step up has been Darius Miller. He hit a three in that stretch once DeMarcus Cousins was ejected, scored 5 points total, finished with 11 on the night, had a bunch of rebounds, a number of assists, and is playing particularly well. And all of a sudden, with Rondo out there kind of making some things happen, look at that pass he had. I forget if it was to Moore or to Miller, that kind of wraparound slingshot thing he did late in the fourth quarter on a pass I couldn't even have seen. I don't even know how he saw the passing lane there. But they're starting to get some consistent play from these bench players, from the role players. And as I said, Davis and Cousins will take you very far, but they don't get you over the finish line. Pelicans are starting to get guys who step up at times. You can really push them over the finish line. I've said Etuan Moore is maybe the most average player in the NBA. He's not playing like that this year. He's playing very, very well for this Pelicans team. So good on him, good on the rest of the guys, good win for the Pelicans roster. Again, they kind of overcame their normal faults to clamp down. By the way, since that DeMarcus Cousins ejection, the Thunder shot just 4 of 15 from behind the three-point line. Pelicans actually closed out on these guys during that stretch. That's the biggest thing. Paul George was a little bit more open than he should have been. He went 2 of 4. But everyone else, Melo went 1 of 4, Russell Westbrook 1 of 4, Raymond Felton 0 for 2, Alex Abrines 0 for 1. They closed out on those guys. That was the big part of that, was they wanted to defend the three-point line. I remember this very clearly. At one point, DeMarcus Cousins had switched on to Russell Westbrook and was defending him, and Westbrook's on the three-point line, and Davis is very far out guarding him, to the point that you thought maybe Westbrook would try and just get around him and drive, because there were lanes to the left and the right. And it's like, maybe you don't want to be guarding Westbrook out that far, particularly with a big. Except you remember these guys were shooting hot, and you need to defend the three-point line. So they did. And, you know, it was kind of daring Westbrook to drive, which he loves to do. He didn't. He tried to shoot a three over Davis, and he happened to hit it. But at least it was contested, and I like to see that. So it showed they were listening to the coaches. They kind of knew what they needed to do in this game to try and get the win, and that was defend. The defensive rating dropped overall to, I think it was 81 total in the time since Cousins was ejected, so 5 minutes left in the third, and 81 defensive rating versus, let me pull it up here, for the whole game. But it's significantly lower. I think it was like 111 prior to that. So where is it? Defensive rating, 101. So significantly better once Cousins left, which there's some correlation there. But also it was because the team stepped up and tried to defend and close down on the three-point line, negating those kind of big-time shots. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Don't forget the New Orleans Basketball Social Club tonight at the New Movement Theater in the Bywater Marini area, 1706 St. Claude Avenue. I'm going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun, as they always are. So come on out, talk some basketball, and maybe get on the podcast. We're going to do this one a little bit differently tonight. So I hope to see you all there. And Pelicans play, what, tomorrow night against the Spurs? We'll maybe talk a little bit about that on the live podcast. But the live podcast is what's going to be up tomorrow. And then programming note, no podcasts on Thanksgiving Day, no podcasts on Black Friday. Just enjoy some time with your family. The Pelicans and the podcast will still be there on Monday for you all. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. I'll be back with you all tomorrow.